Good morning. Happy Father's Day. This morning, we're going to talk about some things that dads say. And I imagine in some way, shape, or form, you're going to see some things on a slide that you'll go, yeah. And it's either, yeah, I heard that as a child growing up. Oh, Dad used to say that all the time. Or, oh, there's going to be a lady in the room go like this to her husband because supposedly he says that all the time. And then he'll begin to argue with her on the pew and we'll develop marriage issues all over the congregation from a sermon. But because I supposedly say things all the time, according to my boys and Jana, that I contend I don't say, but more than once in a blue moon. And anyway, but you know, we don't even hear what we're saying. It just comes off autopilot now. So we're going to look at some of those things, and I think we can use those phrases to look at what God has said on some issues of Scripture using the same phrases, and I think you'll see as we go along, or hope you'll see as we go along, what I mean by that, and that it'll be understandable and enjoyable. Let me start by thanking you for the response that you have given me and my family over the last 7 days, and I'll say more in the coming weeks. We will be out of town next Sunday, and so we'll be on vacation with some families and then back. And then starting that following Sunday, 2 weeks from today, which is the 30th, it's a five-Sunday month, by the way, and then over the next several weeks beyond that, we want to sort of have a what I'd like to call a family meeting and just talk about this is what I want for you, and we'll look at various passages from God's word relating to those things. But thank you so much, and I would be remiss if I didn't say that, but if I started trying to explain specifically, I'd miss something and it wouldn't be appropriate, and we wouldn't have time anyway. So I titled the lesson this morning, My Father Said. I do want to go ahead and, on a personal note, ask you to be prayerful about something in particular. Day after tomorrow, on Tuesday, my mom will have total knee replacement surgery at 82. And Dad is 84, and that will mean, because they've told her she won't be able to do anything for him at all for a couple of weeks, and Dad is at the point now where he can't do anything for himself for the most part. And so with that being a 24/7 issue and Mom unable, he will go into a memory care unit for those first two to three weeks, somewhere in there. We hope that's all it'll be. Mom is having an extremely difficult time with the concept of having to explain to him what's going to happen, and that's going to happen tomorrow, and he doesn't know yet. We haven't told him because he can't keep anything more than 30 to 60 seconds anyway, and so if we tell him, he wouldn't remember it. And so that tomorrow's going to be a tough day as Mom is preparing to go for that, and my sister's helping with her getting ready to be where she's going to be, and then after the hospital to rehabilitation. My brother and I will be moving Dad in to that place. So prayers for that effort, if you don't mind, for Mom's successful surgery and then for what we've got to do with Dad. My father said, and then the father said. It is interesting to see how often what we've heard from our own earthly fathers of faith mirrored in some way what the Heavenly Father has said. And I don't mean where Dad said, God wants this, or the Bible says this, and then we can look and say, yes, that's what the Bible says. That's not what I'm talking about. And again, as I said a moment ago, of what we look at this morning, I think you'll be able to follow what I mean. But it is interesting how often what we've heard comes from some place, and in a father of faith, I think I know where some of these things personally in my life have come from and why. And I hope they'll have impact on you. So happy Father's Day. There's mine. That's 2 years ago, but there's mine. On each side of him in that photo are Drew and Will, but I didn't want to expose you to something that ugly this morning, so we just put Dad up there, and so there, happy Father's Day. I put a bow on his head there for you. Dad says certain things. This is what dads say. These are the kinds of things dads say, right? Who left the door open? You know, are we heating the whole neighborhood now? Is that what we're cooling the whole neighborhood now? You know, that kind of thing. Son, your mother wasn't put here to be at your beck and call. Oh man, I made a wrong move after a neighborhood football game. Or excuse me, wiffle ball game, after a neighborhood wiffle ball game. But understand, guys, it was for the neighborhood quarterly championship. It was an important wiffle ball game. And I came home and was hot and sweaty, and I was 14 years old, right in there. And I sat down shirtless at the table and just wringing with sweat on a hot summer, late afternoon, evening. First thing I did is he said, well, first of all, go put a shirt on before you get to the table. Second, when I said, hey, Mom, I need something to eat. Well, they had already eaten, and she had rung the bell that I heard several times down the street. It was an old farm dinner bell that came off my dad's grandfather's farm down in Santa Fe. And we got that old dinner bell passed down, and Mom would ring it. You know, there's no cell phones, that kind of thing. And she would ring, and that meant, you know, supper's ready. And I came down from where the game was, three houses down. But I didn't come right away, and they didn't wait, and they ate, and then she put everything back up. And I came in, and I demanded something to eat, right? I want something to eat. And Mom started to get up and get stuff out of the refrigerator, and Dad said, no, put that back. And he looked at me and he said, why do you think your mom is here? And I'm 14 years old and stupid. And I said, well, she's right now she's here to give me something to eat, is what she, you know. And no, that didn't fly. That didn't fly at all. And he literally did not allow her to fix me something to eat. And he said, your mom is not put on earth to be at your beck and call. And so right now, there are women across the auditorium going like this to their husbands, saying, that's a good man right there, that Marlon Conley, I tell you. Dads say stuff like this. Dads say stuff like, you can do that after you cut the grass, right? Dad say stuff like, one, two, because they're good dads. If they have to say two and a half after that, they're not so good dads. I'll just tell you. One, two, dad say stuff like that. Let me see your homework. It's not good to have a father who is a college professor at the same school that you're growing up in, K through 12 in. That's not good. Let me see your homework. Dad, say stuff like that. Every once in a while, whether we admit it or not, even those that are men of faith, spiritually minded men, maybe leaders in the Lord's church, they might even like the idea that the other guy looks worse than you do. And then Mom says, he shouldn't be fighting. What's the other guy look like? Oh, good. Dads say stuff. Dads say, they tell their children in some form or fashion, we wanted you. I wanted you. I'll never forget the day that there was the news that there was a pregnancy there. I wanted you. I wanted you to be mine. We envision you. Well, the Lord says the same thing. You knit me in my mother's womb. Let us make man in our image. This is what the heavenly Father said, not just the type of thing that an earthly father may tell a child he loves. Dads may say something like, I'd have a house full if I could afford it. Now, Jana will tell you, I've said that a million times, and I've meant it every single time. And some of you think I'm crazy. That's fine. But I would have a house full if I thought we could afford it. She knows one of the things that I regularly, for years, would just sit there and wonder whether we'd made the right decision or not, and ponder, and then later regret, and sorry, boys, that if we'd have gone for a third child, we might have had a girl. And that ate me, that just bothered me for years. Oh, you might have had twin boys too. Well, that'd have been great. That'd have been great too. But I'd have had a house full if I could have afforded it. Well, did you know that Scripture says the same thing? Did you know that the Heavenly Father says the same thing? Except it's better. Jim read from John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God and you believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, many rooms, many dwelling places. God's got plenty of room. He is not willing that any would perish. There's another verse about the Heavenly Father. He is not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. I'd have a house full if I could. That's what the Heavenly Father says, not just some earthly father. Dads sometimes have to say, if they're honest, I was just like you. Or their wives remind them, you were just like that when I met you. You're getting on to him for this or getting on to him for that, or you're frustrated with this or that in the child, but when I met you, that was you and maybe worse. I was just like you. I've been there too. Well, the Heavenly Father pictured something similar for us, and it's even better. Then the identification that a young man or a young daughter in a home can have with a parent that is trying to tell them, I've been there, I've done that, I understand, I know, I can identify. Except this is better, because the Heavenly Father says it this way. You have a high priest not unable to sympathize with your weaknesses. You have one that was tempted in all points just like you, yet without sin. What Scripture says from the Heavenly Father about His Son, He says, He's been there. He's done that. He understands. He's felt that. No temptation has overtaken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted or tested above that which you can bear. And when tempted or tested, will provide a way of escape. I've been there. I know. The whole book of Hebrews is written on the premise that Jesus is a new and better mediator than the old high priest, who brings a new and better covenant that has new and better promises. And so Scripture pictures you and I having a Lord that says the same thing. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. He had to grow and do like we have grown and done to be able to be the perfect high priest. So when a father says that sort of thing, we can also point to a Heavenly Father that can say the same thing. Listen. Anybody ever hear those words from an earthly father? Listen. Sometimes it was just said, now listen. Other times it was said with a different tone of voice and a different facial expression. And it was not just the word listen, but it was something that struck great fear in you because of how it was said. And you had an understanding of that term that maybe you didn't have before. The Heavenly Father says to His people, listen. You know how many times Scripture pictures God asking His people to listen, even using those exact words, even uses the phrase, hear, or hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel. Do a word search sometime. Go back into the Old Testament and certainly do the same. And look at the nature and character of God as it relates to how He wants His people as a father to them to listen to Him. And He says, hear, O Israel. The Hebrew word Shema means to hear or to listen. The prayer has about three paragraphs. Each paragraph is a short passage from the Torah. The English translation of the first paragraph, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Hear me. Listen. The book of Proverbs, over and over and over in the book of Proverbs, you will see verses that begin with the words, listen, my son. These are words that the Heavenly Father says. Here's another phrase that you may have heard. From an earthly father. I did. All of these are things I've heard. One day you'll understand how much parents love their children. Oftentimes that's something that has to be said. Now I've said it. Oftentimes that's something that has to be said when a child doesn't understand why some decision is being made or why they can't go here or why they can't have that. And to say, well, you just don't fill in the blank. You just don't care. You just don't love me. Or you love him more than you love me. Or you love, you know, those kinds of things that children in immaturity will do. And a parent has to say in some form or fashion, one day you'll understand how much a parent loves their children. Well, the Heavenly Father said the same thing. This is how He said it. It's John 3:16, and this is the love of God, right? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever might believe upon Him would not perish, but have eternal life. That's how much. One day you'll understand. Calvary was a billboard that as they drove by, stated, this is how much you're loved. Sometimes a dad says, you will have failures. And listen, dads with children still in the home, and really we might ought to talk to grandparents too. Because I'll tell you, we smile when this happens. We smile when we talk about what I'm fixing to mention. We smile and we say, well, that's just the joy of grandparenthood. That's our privilege. That's the privilege of being a grandparent. But listen, be careful. Be careful, because it's not always joyful for the parent to have to undo when the kid gets back home. Okay? But the Heavenly Father was not doing His children any favors if He didn't allow them to fail. As a Heavenly Father looks upon His children, if He never lets them go through failure because of their choices, if He never lets them go through difficulty because of their choices, if He never lets them go through hard times, times of dependency that they had never ever known, then why the need for Him? Why the need for dependency on Him? Why would they ever look up at Him if they always make the right decision and it always blesses their life by their own understanding the right decision always comes? then they'd forget him. And that would be the worst thing he could have done for somebody that he loves. So let me say this, as an earthly father says, you will have failures. Let me say to earthly fathers, you are handicapping your children if you don't let them fail. You're handicapping them for life. I know you think you're loving them, to ever keep them from having to suffer, so to speak. But you're not. You're handicapping. And so a father says, you will have failures. Jesus predicted Peter's fall. Now to go to the mindset of the heavenly father from an earthly father. Jesus predicted Peter's fall. And he said, look, here's what's going to happen. In Luke 22, he said, look, here's what's going to happen. But I've prayed for you. I've prayed for you. And that when you return from that failure, you'll go and strengthen your brothers. I appreciate the honesty of Scripture that just like a heavenly father may explain to a child he dearly loves, the heavenly father said long ago, you will have failures. You will fall. It will make a man out of you. Second phrase up there. We've got photos. I don't know if y'all have stuff like this that you say, you know, we picture boxes, you know, back when we couldn't take pictures on our phone and we had to develop everything. And we've got boxes and boxes of old family photos, hands in the room if you have those boxes. Yeah, it goes along age lines. Listen, y'all are about to have them because that's where they go. They just go to you next. You're the one that has to clean out the house later. And they're fun to go through, and that you remember your life, right? And they're fun to go through. And we've got photos of my brother beating the daylights out of me in the living room or in the den growing up. And there are photos with my dad laughing in the background. And I can vividly remember calling out to my mother. I guess I called to Mom. For two reasons. One, I'd heard Dad say before, I don't make a man out of him. That's what he would say. And, you know, so I knew probably get nowhere with Dad, so I'd call out to Mom, and besides, I was the baby, right? The baby, right, Moms? And my dad would say, it'll make a man out of you. Do you know what the Heavenly Father has revealed about when we get beaten on a little bit in life? Here's what the Heavenly Father has also said. James said it this way. Count it all joy when you fall under trials of various kinds, knowing that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And then he goes on and says what perseverance does for you. And how it comes out even spiritually strong for you to sustain. My dad used to say, because his dad used to say all the time, don't borrow trouble, except my grandfather, when he was talking to my dad would just change it to don't borrow trouble. But my grandfather used to say, don't trouble trouble till trouble troubles you. Say that 5 times real fast. Anybody ever hear that phrase? Now this is an interesting combination of people that have heard this phrase. I think the only hands I saw were Jack and Linda, and then a little bit further down the road, Sherry Myatt. That surprises me, Sherry. You're not nearly as old as Jack and Linda, so as a old soul. Dad used to say that. Don't borrow trouble. Or my grandfather, look, don't trouble with trouble. Don't mess with it. Don't fool with it. Don't worry about it. Don't trouble trouble till trouble troubles you. What in the world did Jesus say in Matthew 6 regarding our worries, our fears, and our anxieties? He basically said that right there. This is what the Heavenly Father said as well. In every great Bible section that deals with faith and the choice of faith in the midst of trials reminds us that we don't need to trouble ourselves with certain things when, number one, they may never happen to begin with. Number two, we can't do anything about it. Number three, through it all, idea that I have a father who can provide and sustain through all that. So the Heavenly Father says the same thing dads say. I don't know how many times I heard, "Hey, Andy," call up to my bedroom, call downstairs where I was doing something else maybe, in the rec room. "Come watch this with me." I have no, and going back to the picture box, I've got all kinds of photos, including photos of me sitting with Dad in his lap watching a football game on a Saturday afternoon. And how many times, "Hey, come watch this with me." And over the years, I would do the same thing. "Hey, come watch this with me." I couldn't help but think of 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12, which says, all of heaven is interested in watching what's going on with the people of God. And if you go back to the original wording right there and you look in the Greek, it's going to say the angels even are stooping over, they're stooping over, longing to see what's going on with you. There is more joy in heaven over one sinner that repents than the 99 that need no repentance, Jesus would say. And so heaven itself says, hey, they get excited in heaven. Hey, come watch this with me. Look at what's happening. John Smith is being baptized this morning for the remission of his sins, and he's going to join us. Hey, come watch this with me. Earthly fathers try to teach their children to be prepared. They remind them they can't always get lucky. You know, multiple choice test, that was my favorite. How about you? True false, maybe, that's good. It's 50-50, right? 50. I was true false, I didn't mind because I had a 50% shot. Essay questions were brutal. And questions that were worded in such a way where there's only one right answer and you don't get options, it's just fill in the blank. Those were the worst of all kinds, of all time, for me in school. But I liked either true-false because I got 50-50 or multiple choice. And you know, I grew up hearing, and I don't know if this is true or not, but I grew up hearing that if you didn't know the answer in a multiple choice test, to put C. Somehow it was determined that most of the time, that C was always correct at a heavier percentage of the time than A, B, or D, or something like that. I don't know. And so I got lucky plenty of times when I wasn't ready. How about you? I got lucky plenty of times when I wasn't ready. And I was about to be interviewed by Channel 5 Sports. I was interviewed in our home two times by Channel 5 Sports. And this was when I was in high school. And I was studying for the interview because they were going to ask us about the Super Bowl. And there was a group of three of us at Lipscomb High School that had this organization, and we had written to New York City. How many of you remember Jimmy the Greek? Yeah, bunch of hands up behind y'all. Jimmy the Greek was supposedly the expert, right, in predicting NFL football games and other sporting events. And we had a group that competed against Jimmy the Greek every week in the NFL. And they had created this thing where we would send our picks up. And so when the Channel 5 affiliate down here picked up on it, the CBS affiliate, Channel 5, picked it up. And they interviewed our group at my house two different times. And that was really cool. And I want to know that I'm going to sound like I know what I'm talking about. And I was a sophomore in high school, and I'm studying statistics of football players, so I can just rattle it off. Well, you know, so-and-so this and so-and-so that. And I'm impressing Dad with what I know about so-and-so stats. And Dad goes, "That's great, son. How's your biology?" They had a test the next day. And I didn't care about the biology test because Channel 5 was coming and I got to sound like I know what I'm talking about. And Dad said, "How's your biology?" dads say things like, be prepared, you can't always get lucky. The Heavenly Father says the same thing. Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. That is the parable of the wise and foolish bridesmaids, the virgins, as it said. And that whole parable is a parable on preparation. Be prepared because you may not get back in time. The bridegroom will get here. We're ready to go. That's it. The door is shut. And when the door is shut, it remains shut. That's what Scripture teaches in Matthew 25. Study to show thyself approved, a workman who wouldn't need to wind up being ashamed because he's learned to rightly divide the word of truth. That's what the Heavenly Father has said, just like an earthly father. Some father sitting at home in his recliner, and there comes that 3-year-old girl. Show of hands. Fathers in the room. Any fathers in the room have a little girl that's anywhere from 1 to 4? Hands? All right, Jason Pugh. You're the guinea pig. Answer correctly. Jason, are your girls cute? Are they precious? Why, yes. That's all right. I like the why, not just the yes. Why, yes. Why, yes, of course. Yeah. Yeah. So he can't help himself. She's so cute. Come up here and get on Daddy's lap. Come unto me, all ye that are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Other passages like, let your requests be made known to God. Again, through James, late in the New Testament, he says, you do not have because you do not ask. And we get this picture of this little girl climbing up maybe on Santa's lap. And she's asking him for things. Hey, come get on this lap and tell me what's going on and tell me what you want. And the Heavenly Father screams that throughout Scripture. Here's my favorite of the day. Son, I think you're related. I had 2 dates in college. I had 2 dates with my cousin. I did. I want you to know right now, I did not know she was my cousin. I'd never heard of them. She didn't know me. And we went somewhere with a group. I don't know if the first date was really a date, but we got kind of paired up with a group, you know, that kind of thing. But then we had at least one date after that. And we go somewhere, and I'm going back by the house to change clothes because we met up with some friends, and let's go over here and do this, and we needed to change clothes. I'm changing clothes, and we run in, and she, Trish, this is mom, dad, this is Trish. I'm going to change clothes. I'm upstairs 5 minutes at the most. I'm back down. You ready to go? Yeah, I grab her. We go out the door. When I get home that night, my dad is waiting up. It's late, but he's decided to wait up, which I thought was unusual. And so I walk in, and he says, you got a minute? And I said, well, I'm really tired. I was going to go, well, I think you need to sit down. And I sat down with my dad, and he said, nice girl. And I said, yeah, I think so. He goes, how many times have you been somewhere with her? I said, well, twice at the most. I don't know if last time counted or not, but this is the first time we've been anywhere by ourselves. And he goes, uh-huh. Son, I think you're related. That's a good one, Dad. He said, I wish I was kidding. And he explained, oh my goodness, yeah. Scripture. The church is pictured as a family. You look at Ephesians chapter 1 and Hebrews chapter 2, and throughout Scripture we're told to look upon one another as family. How about this one? Be careful how you talk to mom and dad. Authority. Authority. Holy ground. How about this one? You need to work. another good dad. That's a good dad saying. You need to work. And the Heavenly Father would say, if a man won't work, neither let him eat. Passage of Scripture like this one, how about from a spiritual perspective? Work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. How about this one from the Son of God? Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Who receives? For him who asks receives, and to him who knocks it will be opened. To him who seeks, you know, he'll be able to find. Activity, action, you need to work. I'm not going to reward a lack of effort. Anybody ever have something like that said to them? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a vagabond, Proverbs says. So you can look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 5, and Matthew 25 that says the same thing from the Heavenly Father somewhere in all three of those chapters. I'm not going to reward a lack of effort. But I like these best. If I think you're trying, I'll cover it from there. I heard that over and over and over and over. Our boys had two rules in the house, two rules. That's all. I didn't want to have 17 rules that they had to try to memorize. We had two rules in the house. Do your best, and we're going to expect that, and we're going to watch for that, and we're going to know when it's not happening. Do your best and behave. And if you're doing those two things, we'll take care of everything else. If you're not doing those two things, there are going to be some things you're going to be lacking, some things we won't provide. Do your best and behave. I love the fact that I had a dad telling me this growing up. If I think you're trying, I'll cover it from there. Colossians 3, 20, 23 and 24. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. It is by grace you have been saved through faith. You see how he puts them together, Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. My grace is sufficient, he told Paul, who prayed for the removal of his thorn in the flesh. No, I'll cover it. I'm proud of you. Have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him in all the earth. He's blameless and upright. Did you know that the Heavenly Father can be proud of you and that he stated such in Scripture? I'm funding your whole world. That's a good one. That's a good reminder, dads. That'll silence some arguments, by the way. That'll silence certain things. You do realize I'm funding your whole world, right? I was making sure. You do realize I'm funding your whole world, right? Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. God's conversation with Job when he finally answered him out of the whirlwind. And my God will supply all your needs. Psalm 50, verse 10, and a host of other passages. I'm funding your whole world. Remember the family name. If a job's worth doing, it's worth doing right. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10. And then these to close. I don't need anything. My dad, I promise you, today he will say, I don't need anything. If we ever asked him what he wanted for Christmas or a birthday or anything else, he would say, don't get me anything. Save your money. I don't need anything. Spend more on your mom. Spend more on your brother and sister. I don't need anything. He's always said that to everybody in the family. I don't need anything. Scripture shows that God needs nothing. He owns it all. Cattle on a thousand hillsides, Psalm 50 and verse 10. Do you know how much that cost? Dad, say that. You know how much that costs, don't you? Actually, this isn't right. This would be. And my feet wouldn't be right. This would be. more like it. And a spike is driven through both those feet. A railroad, think of a railroad spike. Here and here. Do you know how much that cost? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believed upon Him might not perish but have life eternal. And I will save you. I will save you. Because I said so. We all grew up with "because I said so" if we had good dads. Because I said so. And that's reason enough. It's also reason enough. Not just things have to be this way because I said so. Here's how you become a Christian. Because that's the way I said to do it. And I get to decide because I own it all. It's all mine and I don't need anything. Not just that. But I can save even you because I said so. Even you because I said so. And that ought to be enough. This morning we offer the Lord's invitation to your personal salvation. Because all these things that dads say, a heavenly Father has said in some way or another, including this, I will save you because I said I would. And that's enough. And if you believe that this morning, we want you to come while together we stand and sing.